I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
We're on the air from 1 to 4, so if you're not listening live, well, then pick up the podcast. John and Ken on Demand, which will be posted up there just after we hit 4 o'clock at the end of the show.
Record number of listeners now are accessing and downloading and listening to the podcast. And all the April numbers are in, and more of you than ever. So thank you very much.
Yes.
You never have to miss a single moment of the show now. You got all day and night.
Next hour, we'll be looking into that horrible mass shooting in Texas involving not only an illegal alien shooter, but illegal alien victims. And people got all over the Texas Governor Greg Abbott for referring to both that way.
That's what they
are. And it's hard to believe. How dare he call the victims illegal immigrants?
They were, and so was the shooter. They were all illegal immigrants.
I was merely stating a fact.
That's right. It's like describing the color of their hair. But, that was their status.
They're having a tough time finding this guy, and we'll talk to ABC News about it.
What country do you think he's in?
Yeah, I got to believe he's
you think he
long
stayed,
out of there.
He stayed in Texas?
Yeah, exactly. Right now we're going to talk about the big story on Friday, which was the decision by the California Air Resources Board. Who elected them, by the way?
Nobody.
Nobody. They're appointed.
Yes.
Yet they're coming after the trucks. They're going to accelerate the adoption of zero-emission, medium, and heavy-duty vehicles in all public and many large private fleets. That will necessitate more than 1 million new electric freight trucks, school buses, and delivery vehicles over the next 25 years. Also, the provision will require all cargo trucks entering California seaports and rail yards to be zero-emission by 2035.
Well, there's so much wrong with this. It's hard to know where to begin. We're going to get with Matt Schrapp, CEO of the Harbor Trucking Association. Matt, how are you? Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, gentlemen. Another beautiful day in California.
Yes. Boy, they're really coming at you. So all new trucks entering port service have to be zero emissions beginning January of 2024? Seriously? That's in 7-8 months.
Right.
So what does that mean? So, what does that mean? They all have to be electric trucks? What does that mean entering port service? Like, explain these terms.
So you got a first-time entrant. If you need to add capacity, or if you have another vehicle that you need to add into the fleet, or perhaps you're trying to enter the marketplace, after 1/1/24, it will have to be zero emissions. That is non-internal combustion and zero tailpipe emissions. So that basically equates to battery electric or a hydrogen-powered vehicle.
And so you can't add a gas-powered truck after January 1st in the state of California. You can't add that to your fleet.
Not into drayage service. Now, and drayage is, you know, the maritime ports as well as the Class 1 rail yards here in the Great Golden
right.
States.
But so, that's where you do your business.
No gas, no diesel.
Right. You do your business, though, at these yards, correct?
Exactly. That is exactly right.
Okay. there's hardly any charging stations out there, and many don't work, or they're very slow.
Too small for trucks, that's for sure. And, you know, we're woefully behind on the infrastructure deployment to support this rule, known as the Advanced Clean Fleets Rule. So for drayage, you know, when we look at this 1/1/24 date, we take a look around the state, especially in and around maritime complexes, there is a very little charging infrastructure, to say the least. So I know the Port of Long Beach deployed two of them, and these are heavy-duty chargers. So you have higher kilowatt-hour output, you have kind of different configuration to allow for pull-through in case someone's hauling a container behind there. But, you know, we've got two so far. In LA Long Beach alone, there's over 20,000 trucks that are registered to do business.
Two they have in Long Beach.
Right.
Well,
yes.
You're going to run out of trucks to deliver things.
That's the fear. Besides, you know, having a capacity crunch, obviously, you know, the vehicles, you know, out the door cost upwards of $500,000. That doesn't include the infrastructure. So you can imagine how that's going to create some downward pressure on fleets to start either absorbing those costs or, of course, pass them on. Right. And, you know, you found inflation was bad now.
Okay, so it's going to be very costly. You have very few places to charge. Are these trucks going to run out of juice fairly quickly? I imagine this uses a lot of energy rapidly.
You know, I mean, we're talking about 80,000-pound combined weight vehicles, or 82,000 pounds if you're running natural gas or a battery electric platform. There is a weight exemption for 2,000 pounds. But, yes, exactly. These are heavy trucks. They're doing varying duty cycles that could bring them as far as the Central Valley, into the Inland Empire, down to Las Vegas, you know, Phoenix. They're not just a port truck that's doing short shuttle runs all day long. And even then, you know, the charging times that are available, even with the existing charging pedestal capacity today, well, it still leaves a lot to be desired. You know, it takes about 15 to 20 minutes to fuel up a diesel vehicle. You could be on the charger trying to fuel up your electric truck for hours.
Hours?
On the output, hours.
Well, you can't do that.
They don't have superchargers for trucks, or...
Not yet. You know, everyone's kind of pointing in that direction, and there are some private vendors out there who are really trying to get aggressive with doing some models such as trucks as a service, where you lease the truck, you lease the property, you lease the kind of energy usage, more or less. So there's some creative solutions out there. But for those people who need to rely on public-facing charging infrastructure, you're scratching your head wondering exactly how you're going to keep your business open, your employees employed,
But this affects our lives, because all the goods we use come through the trucks. So if you can't keep your trucks charged, then how do we get our stuff delivered?
Well, you know, we need more trucks, I guess, you know, depending on the range and the fueling capability. You know, I've heard that you need two trucks to do the same job as one truck. Obviously, it depends on duty cycle and where you're going, how much you're hauling, et cetera. But, you know, the rule of thumb is I'm going to almost need to double my fleet size to maintain the same level of business.
That's going to drive up transportation costs and the cost of the products we buy if it costs two trucks instead of one to deliver something.
That's right. That is exactly right.
Do you guys have a seat at the table here with this whack jobs on the California Air Resources Board? Is there any countervailing influence at all?
You know, not really. I'll have to say we are at the table, as well as our colleagues from the California Trucking Association, the West States Trucking Association, local other trucking groups, large companies, small companies. You know, I've seen grown men come to tears testifying before the Air Resources Board about some of these mandates. And frankly, it's more about political expediency, especially when it comes to drayage, than actual reality.
What's the point of all this? What is the point of all this?
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
To be honest. Well, on the one half, it's climate change, you know, regardless of how folks feel about that out there.
Yeah, I know, but California has...
They're saying it saves lives.
But California has no effect on the world's climate. It's impossible,
right?
Obviously. So what else? What else is going on here?
It's a health impacts issue where, you know, communities over the decades have been disproportionately impacted by emissions coming from ports and rail yards. Trucks are the easiest ones to pick on, right? The authority is clear. and they have the capability to pass these rules that was bestowed upon them more or less in 1970 by our friend Richard Nixon, who, you know, signed the Clean Air Act that allowed California to set their own engine standards and to pursue in-use standards for end users in order to reach federal air attainment goals. So you have near-term kind of exposure, which is really what drives it. You have many community members on
Friday.
All right,
so it's about Black and Hispanic neighborhoods. Their air is disproportionately impacted by the trucks.
That has been stated repeatedly. Yes.
Right, because they are built closer to the freeways and closer to the delivery centers.
Yeah, that's land use policy that goes back decades, obviously. But you know where we're at today, the trucks have gotten so much cleaner. Not only from the OEM standpoint, that's the original equipment manufacturers, building stricter controls into the internal combustion engines. You couple that with the regulations for diesel users in California that, you know, we've seen reductions from diesel particulate matter over 90%.
I was just going to ask you, that, like, compared to 1970 when all this started, how much cleaner are trucks now? 90%?
Tremendously. Oh, absolutely. Even more so. When you go back that far, you could probably say you're getting close to almost 100% cleaner. They're not zero emissions per se at the tailpipe, but they're pretty darn close.
Okay, well, if you've gotten to almost 100%, what's wrong with that? Why does it have to be 100% if it's, you know, in the upper 90s?
Well, because they really, it's not so much about the truck anymore as it is about the fuel that it's using. So the fossil fuel industry is under attack. And part of the strategy to wean us off of our oil diet is to start with the transportation network, and trucks are really first up on the chopping block.
All right, Matt, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you, gentlemen.
That's Matt Schrapp, CEO of the Harbor Trucking Association. Their response to the new zero emission rules coming for trucks. They want to get rid of diesel, and the real complaint is it's coming too fast. We'll talk more when we come back. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, in about 1 hour, we'll have another keyword for you. That's your chance to win some money. The KFI Inflation Compensation Contest, the latest word, comes at around 3:20. Right before that, we'll be talking about that mass shooter in Texas they're looking for who killed five people, including an eight-year-old. There was some sort of argument centering around his shooting off guns in his backyard. We'll find out the latest from Alex Stone, ABC News. But apparently everyone involved was of the illegal immigrant kind. And that's also creating sort of a controversy underneath this story.
Yeah, right. To distract everybody from the real issue. You had a guy deported four times who just killed a family. And now the crime is the Texas governor described the killer as being an illegal alien. And describe the victims.
The victims.
Right.
That's
so that's
really got people.
His description more, well, who? Anybody normal or progressive journalists?
Dweebs on Twitter and stuff went nuts over the Texas governor.
That's 6%. Great. I forgot they control the world.
Look at this. The New York Times finally weighed in on San Francisco, the troubled year they're having. Well, actually, it's about the Whole Foods market. We told you a few weeks ago that a large, expensive Whole Foods market has decided to, as they say right now, temporarily shut down. What the Times found out is in the 13 months it was open, there were 568 emergency calls. Think about that.
Yeah.
That is an amazing number, which comes out to 43 per month. So how many days are in a month generally?
30.
30?
Yep. More than one a day.
Averaging more than one a day. Emergency call. And it was mostly employees being threatened with guns, knives, sticks. Also, vagrants came in and flung food, screamed, fought, and tried to defecate on the floor.
Let's go through that again. Can you imagine every day crazed, drug-addicted homeless people throwing the food, screaming, fighting, and dropping their pants and defecating on the floor? You're running a Whole Foods.
And then they're threatening you.
There's organic food that's being exposed to this here.
The Asiago cheese bagel could get pooped on.
Oh!
One call was, male with machete is back. You notice the word back?
Is back.
Another security guard was just assaulted, another call says. A man with a 4-inch knife attacked several security guards, then sprayed store employees with foam from a fire extinguisher, according to yet another call. And then we mentioned this one in September. A guy was found dead in the bathroom, overdose of fentanyl. So
Whole Foods says we're closing, right? Because if you were running that grocery store, you'd close too. You don't want your employees to die. You don't want to die. You don't want to be responsible for that. Because if somebody dies at Whole Foods who works there or a customer, Whole Foods is going to have to pay. Yeah. And this is owned by Amazon. This is Jeff Bezos. He's not an idiot. He's not going to lose millions and millions of dollars because San Francisco can't put all the insane people in a lockdown mental health treatment center.
The store was supposed to cater to tech workers and other professionals, part of a long-term redevelopment plan downtown. Obviously, what has happened, and boy, they opened this up during the pandemic, 13 months ago. So they should have already seen the trend coming that everybody's leaving.
Okay, but the place is populated, especially, you know, that area of San Francisco, populated by really wealthy tech workers. I mean, the average engineer at Facebook makes nearly $400,000 a year.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are people with a lot of money. They're living in a rich area. They're paying a lot in taxes. And their Whole Foods has been taken over by hordes of insane homeless people who are throwing the food, drug addicts, schizophrenics. They're defecating on the floor. Again, who are you voting for? You're paying a lot of tax money, and now your Whole Foods is gone. What is wrong with you? I don't understand what people are putting up with.
They're caught in what they call the doom loop. Apparently, the city's gross domestic product, the government's now forecasting a $780 million deficit in the upcoming two fiscal years because of the drop-off in working people there.
Activity in downtown San Francisco is down by two-thirds.
Yeah.
Lower than 50 other major cities. So they've cleared out the place of civilized people. All that's left are the lunatics. And so there's now no store for the civilized people anymore. Now you can't go and buy Deborah's vegetables.
But don't you now have housing for the homeless?
Might as well.
Well, that was what Elon Musk said, that maybe we could use Twitter to house the homeless, a Twitter building.
You know what? That's probably where it's going to go. There's so many empty office buildings. What was that story you had last week? There was a building that was worth...
Oh, yeah. It was once worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
$300 right? million, now it's worth $60.
Right. 80% markdown.
80% off. And you still can't fill it even at 80% off. If you have a new tech company, you got the entire United States to move into. Why would you pick San Francisco?
Well, they're not. I mean, a lot of people have gone to Austin, and Miami's become a new hub.
So this is a permanent issue. The city has been permanently destroyed in some respects.
Right. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere. The iHeartRadio app.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV,
all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
App.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
You can hear us from 1 until 4 on the radio after 4 o'clock. After 4 o'clock, join the record number of listeners who are now hearing us on the iHeart app. John and Ken on Demand, the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, there's no turning back, so we are going to keep moving forward.
We are going forward. They can't kill us. They may try, but they can't kill us.
We could rewind the show and just kind of go back because we've now done half of it.
Right.
So just run it backwards and we'll get to 4 o'clock.
That's right. You can... Can you run it backwards on the podcast?
We're going to talk to Alex Stone next hour. There's a manhunt for the mass killer in Texas. You may have heard this story outside of Houston, Cleveland, Texas, about 50 miles north of Houston. There was a mass shooting, and the suspect killed 5, including an 8-year-old boy. Hostility between neighbors. We'll find out more from Alex Stone. But apparently we also learned in the ensuing days they're all illegal aliens, all the victims and the shooter. And the shooter's been deported 4 times.
He was shooting his rifle, and that family asked him to stop doing that.
Yes.
And he said no and blew them all away.
That's a big part of the story.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alex will have a lot more details about the search for this man, Francisco Oropesa. Before we move on from the Bay Area, one other quick note. It was a kind of a fascinating story in the San Francisco Gate recently. Remember, we have told you that time and time again, stores are starting to lock up more and more goods because they say that there's just too much shoplifting. And this way they cut down on the possibility that you're just going to grab something off the shelf and run out the front door. If you have to ask for a clerk and wait for it, and you could be ID'd, you're probably less likely to steal it. So this story in the Chronicle is about a store. If you know the Oakland area, there's a neighborhood called Rockridge. It's very nice. I've been there on a number of occasions. It has a great pizza place, by the way. So they've done this with a lot of products at a Safeway. And the word that jumped out of the article is, it feels carceral. Another word, it feels prohibitive.
That's the new word for prison.
So the upscale people that shop at this Safeway feel that locking up all the goods is making them feel like they're the criminals or the prisoners. That now, according to the company, they claim that rising theft led them to this decision. And apparently it's been extended to more products than people remember. And the people in this neighborhood don't understand because they don't think that this particular store has that much shoplifting.
But well, how would they know?
Some called it jarring, hostile, and alienating.
There's no store that's
going to... Oh, and you have to scan your receipt at a self-checkout area.
There's no store that's going to lock up or make it difficult to buy their products just for the hell of it. No store has ever done that in the history of stores.
That wouldn't make good customer relation sense.
No. So nobody's done it. If they're locking up the goods, because I've run into this multiple times, and every single I always ask about it just to be a pain in the ass. And they said, well, you know, we're having a lot of shoplifting going on. That's the answer every time.
Yeah.
Nobody says, well, we're just trying to make it more difficult for you to buy our products. We really don't want you to buy our products, so we're trying to make you get exasperated and go home. Nobody has said that.
This is new, though, that you have to scan your receipt. I haven't seen that in a store yet, but I guess that's coming to somebody.
When I've gone to a place like Best Buy, you run into a security guard at the door who marks your receipt, like they get a red
that's
marker.
That's been going on for years at Best Buy, but I'm talking about a supermarket or a drugstore. I've not seen that. Well, I've been at Costco, too, obviously, in the box stores.
Yeah, because Best Buy used to be the target for shoplifters. A big payoff if you're...
because they, small items can be worth a lot.
Yeah, right? But now they're just clearing out all the shelves. I on the Nextdoor app? Maybe you know this CVS. This is in Tarzana, Deborah.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly. Yeah.
18441 Ventura Boulevard.
I used to go there all the time.
Listen to this. Guy writes, I was just in the CVS and there was a kid, 16, 17, filling up his backpack with alcohol, food, and drinks. Then he walked straight out of the store. No alarm. Nobody even tried to stop him. The most blatant theft I've ever seen with employees watching. When I approached the employees, they told me that's nothing. Gangs are regularly pulling up with huge plastic bags, clearing shelves in the store on a regular basis. In Tarzana.
Tarzana?
The employees have been told to do nothing. It's too dangerous. They've been advised maybe follow people in the store, but that just annoys the shoplifters. And the guy writes, how are we okay with this as a society? This is absolutely nuts. If this is the norm in Tarzana, heaven help us. Well, how's everybody voting these days, huh?
Yeah, really. Got to ask yourself that.
How you voting? People in San Francisco, how you voting? I mean, because in the story about the Safeway, it's baby formula. Baby formula is locked up. Detergent like Tide and Gain were behind plastic doors.
No, those pods, yeah.
Batteries, razors locked away. The hard liquor, obviously. And there's apparently a number of Safeways in the Bay Area with barricades and receipt scanners.
In a way, I always hate punishing everybody for the actions of a few because you don't have more shoplifters than you used to, but they're obviously not a majority of the people that come into the store, and it just sometimes seems like overkill. But if they don't have the security and we don't have the laws to prevent this, to tamp down on this, then do you blame stores for doing this?
Because it's not just an occasional guy stuffing meat into his pants. Hmm. It's these gangs with large trash bags, 30-gallon trash bags.
Yes, you're right. It has become a big operation.
Taking their arm and sweeping it across the shelves. I mean, baby formula has been in short supply for a while now. Yeah. They've had supply chain problems. They closed a number of baby formula factories because of contamination. And probably this stuff goes for a good price online because parents are always scrambling, trying to find new sources of formula. So these guys put it online. They jack up the price. They're making good money.
It's become, you're right, very organized now. They can send these people out there. They're just the dupes that go and grab all the stuff and stick it in the big bags. And then they go back and they turn it over to someone who operates the big market, whether it's reselling it online, on these websites or whatever, and they just turn it over really quickly for a profit. And then I guess the guy who does the stealing gets a cut. It's kind of how it works. They become, I would say you're right, 10 or 20 years ago, shoplifting was done at a very individual level. There wasn't this much organization and gangs kind of stuff behind it.
You people in Tarzana, eventually your CVS is going to close and you won't be able to buy anything there and you won't be able to get your prescriptions there.
We had a Rite Aid in Woodland Hills that closed because there were so many problems.
No. From shoplifting?
Yeah, shoplifting, homeless people. There were tons of homeless people.
So it closed.
Where do you get your medication for your serious problems?
Well, I didn't get it there.
for your serious problems.
And I don't have any serious problems.
Your anti-anxiety drugs.
I don't take anything, and I'm not anxious. All right, well, except when I'm here.
Your first response was actually answer the question like you did. That's what I noticed.
Well, when I come in here, you know, sometimes right, I do have to pop a couple.
Your gummies and your...
chill.
She has a whole medical kit to deal with us.
Really?
Yeah, this story, they tried to find out just how much in the city of Oakland, and that's why the A's are leaving, right?
yeah.
Though the number of reported commercial thefts has gone up slightly and up and down over the years, the number has increased by 120% since 2018.
It's not even a crime. Because if you're filling a garbage bag with a bunch of groceries off the shelf, you're not going to hit $950, right, which is the allowable limit of shoplifting.
Yeah.
Because they don't prosecute below 950?
The point you made earlier was the best point in that stores wouldn't do this because if it just makes shopping more of a hassle, it's a deterrent to customers. So they wouldn't do this unless they were weighing the losses versus that problem of alienating customers.
I was in an airport the other day and they had a convenience store. I think this is in San Francisco because their airport's more modern than LAX. And I went into the store, and what you have to do is you have to tap your credit card entering the store, picking up a bottle of Coke.
Right.
And then to pay for the Coke, the woman's just said, oh, no, go ahead, just leave the store. And it scanned the Coke as I was leaving, and it already had my credit card from the tapping. So I could walk in, grab something off the shelf, and then walk out, and there's no interaction at all, either with a clerk or even a machine. Not even a self-scan. You just walk out the door. So that's the way the world was going. So they certainly wouldn't set up a situation where it's impossible to even get the product off the shelf unless you call somebody who's got a key to unlock the panel. They're working towards it. She could walk in and walk out and have no conversation and have absolutely no friction at all.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, coming up after the news at 3 o'clock, we'll talk about the mass shooting in Texas, which took the lives of 5 people, including an 8-year-old boy. We'll get all the latest from Alex Stone, ABC News, and, of course, the controversy, not really, but in some spheres, is that the governor of Texas called everybody illegal aliens involved in the horrific incident. The shooter, the victims. We'll get to all of this after the news at 3 o'clock. A story that's apparently making the rounds, and we do have the audio, occurred Friday night. The Los Angeles Philharmonic at Walt Disney Concert Hall. Never seen that concert hall, John? That's quite the design.
You know, it's beautiful, and I've never gone inside to see something, and I've always wanted to.
I have not either. I haven't even taken a tour or anything, but I have seen the outside.
Yeah, the outside is fantastic looking and unique.
It is. It's strange. I'm looking at a picture of it. Just I haven't been there in a while. But
all buildings should have that kind of creativity. Like instead of it being endless stucco boxes and stucco strip malls.
Well, apparently somebody was enjoying the Philharmonic performance so much that, according to many reports, she had an orgasm. Is that what it sounds like?
No, that was her boyfriend. Boy, you failed anatomy, didn't you, Eric?
I wasn't going to play the actual thing yet. I was waiting for him to cue that part up. I was just trying to get in the mood.
He was setting the mood.
Yeah, exactly.
Arousal.
Do we have audio of her actual?
Oh, yeah.
We do, yeah.
The real one?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's what the cut sheet says.
I should have read the cut sheet.
He does not.
You gave it to me, though, yeah?
I did.
Yeah, you did. You did. Oh, there it is. Oh, TMZ, of course.
People, yeah, even the Times did a story on this, though.
Oh, it made every paper in the world.
Because it's the LA Philharmonic.
I know.
People were all over Twitter saying, yeah, some lady had a screaming orgasm.
Wow.
Well, it says here, to the point where the orchestra stopped playing? That's really loud. Well, let's see what we can hear.
Deborah sounds Mark, like she's being murdered.
Your analysis of...
It doesn't sound like an orgasm to me. Not that I know what everybody's orgasm sounds like, but it doesn't sound like that to me. It sounds like she's being harmed.
Now, I have a question. Got to phrase this delicately. Do you think this was self-created, or perhaps the boyfriend, or was it from the sound of the music? Is that possible?
The interpretation is it's from the sound of the music.
My guess is she had something in there.
What?
My guess is she had something in there.
Kind of a portable.
Are you being as literal as I think you are?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Eric.
Oh, I'm
really?
Serious.
Well, it would explain why.
But does it? I mean, but seriously, you guys, does that sound like an orgasm? Because it sounds like she's being harmed.
Because it doesn't sound like when Harry met Sally kind
exactly.
of thing?
Exactly. Let's get Meg Ryan over here.
Apparently, Deborah's never heard one like that.
Well, no one said that, Deborah Mark. Everyone thinks right. It's... some people described it as... one person called it a loud and full body orgasm.
I could be wrong. I wasn't there.
But Could that happen? Could you get one just from listening to music? Is that conceivable?
Why are you asking me that?
Well, you're the only one who would relate to this.
It hasn't happened to me.
I mean,
it is being described as a scream slash moan.
If I went home tonight into the bedroom with a violin, I mean,
why don't you try it, John, and report back to us tomorrow?
Would I get that reception? Hey, honey, you want to hear Tchaikovsky's Fifth?
Depends what song you play.
Molly Grant said that she was seated. I saw the girl after it happened. And I assumed that she had an orgasm because she was heavily breathing and her partner was smiling and looking at her. Like in an effort to not shame her. It was quite beautiful. Molly Grant, who works for a jewelry company and lives in Los Feliz.
Now, there is a fun girl on a date, huh?
I guess the music was just that fulfilling. Or
Eric's theory.
I'm telling you, she had something up there. She had a remote control, and she was having some fun during the concert.
Well, wait a second. Now, I was thinking something completely different.
What were you thinking?
Well, just
no, I'm serious. I bet she had a sex toy, and it was remote controlled.
Remote controlled.
I'm serious.
I never thought of that.
I thought, well, I don't want to be explicit here.
I mean, I'm trying to be as delicate as possible.
I know.
Here.
So I was thinking that it had something to do with the boyfriend.
Well, he might have been controlling it, too.
No, that's not what I was thinking either. But never mind. I'm not going to go any
forget. He might have had the control, yeah.
But why are you thinking?
And he clicked it on high.
But no.
Now, these being, classical music concert goers, some had a different interpretation than what I'm just hearing, saying that it was perfectly timed to a romantic swell in the actual symphony. Wonderfully timed, said one.
That looked like a natural stop.
Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 5, the luscious main theme was adopted for a popular love song. Tchaikovsky's skillful orchestration lifts the mood from sentimentality to high romanticism, as one describes it.
Right, but can you get sexually charged by the sound of the music? I understand.
I told you about the spectrum of people's sexual desires.
I've never been on that spectrum. How do you visit that spectrum?
But it's wide and broad, so people can be turned on by a lot of different things.
Well, Deborah, what did you think the cause was? The boyfriend.
Well, I didn't think that she was using a device. I thought maybe he was messing
around.
Exactly.
I see.
I'm trying to be as delicate as I can be without getting fired.
We'd all rather be crude.
Know what I'm saying.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do. And look, I'm not going to pretend to know how these things happen. I mean, I know how they happen. In the middle of a concert, I don't know.
All right, time to make a smooth exit. We're going to talk about the manhunt for the Texas mass killer. This happened about 50 miles north of Houston. Apparently, some disagreement between neighbors, including the fact that one guy was not going to stop shooting off his gun in his backyard. So he came over and killed 5 people, including an 8-year-old boy. We'll talk to Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI next. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.